Okay, so we're on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. What I'd like to do is, we're actually up to Maika Amarle, which is, I would say about two-thirds of the way down. But you know what? What I'd like to do is give a kind of a 5-minute background of what we're talking about with regard to this, this discussion between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva with the Talmud that goes back and forth.
Sure.
Okay, then, so just kind of maybe recap on this. So the Mishnah, I'm going to give this Baal Peh, without reading, because we'll start the reading on the Gemara that we're up to. But just as a review of yesterday, the Mishnah had told us that there was a Talmud, again, right now we don't know it's Rabbi Meir yet, but we'll find out it's Rabbi Meir, who brought the teachings of Rabbi Shmuel and presented them to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel had taught that if you have a mavui, and the entrance into the mavui is less than 4 amos wide, then even Beit Shammai would agree with Beis Hillel that all you need is one lechi or one kori. You don't need two. And Rabbi Akiva insisted, no, that even in the case of a mavui with a small, narrow opening of less than 4 tfachim, nevertheless, we still need, according to Beit Shammai, both a lechi on this side and a lechi on that side. I'm sorry. What I meant to say was that the opening is less than 4 amos. I think I may have said 4 tfachim. I apologize. So again, if the machlokes, so claims Rabbi Akiva, between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel applies even the case where the opening into the mavui is less than 4 amos wide. Okay. Now, the Gemara says the following, that, one second, I'm just trying to remind myself. Yeah. The Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that whenever you see this expression, that a Talmud brought the Shmua from Rabbi Shmuel to Rabbi Akiva, then it's a reference to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was a disciple of both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And then the Gemara quotes a Braisa to prove this, because Rabbi Meir makes a statement that with regard to the ink that's used for Stam, Stam is Rashi Tevis for Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzahs, so any holy writing, then the ink has to be used not only from pure black ink, but you could also add something called kankantum. And according to the record of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shmuel said that that's fine. You can add this element called kankantum. I'm hoping that as we go along, we'll find out a little bit more about what this kankantum is. But you can add that into your mixture with the ink, and that's fine. And then Rabbi Meir says, when I told this over to Rabbi Akiva, he said, no. This is forbidden. You're not allowed to add this kankantum into the ink for the sofer, for the scribe. So the Gemara asks, well, wait a second. We have a statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Shmuel. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, who in turn was quoting Rabbi Meir, and he had the story apparently in a different version. And on the contrary, he says that Rabbi Meir records that when he was in the presence of Rabbi Akiva and the issue of kankantum being mixed with ink came up, then it was Rabbi Akiva who said it was okay, and he didn't actually say so, but by implication. And then Rabbi Meir reports that when he got to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel says, "My son, right, Bini, Mamalachtecha, what is your fach, you know, what do you do for a living?" And he says, "I'm a scribe." And at that point, Rabbi Shmuel gives him a whole Musa Shmuz, and he tells him, "Well, if you're a scribe, then you have to realize that Malachtecha, what you're doing is Melechet Shamayim. I mean, everyone's going to depend on, for example, your Sefer Torah to read it properly." And he gives him a whole long list of careful, meticulous elements that he has to be careful about. For example, if you're going to miss one letter, or you're going to add one letter, maybe nobody will know the difference, but Nimtzeis Machrivis Kol HaOlam Kulo. It's as if you would destroy the entire world. And it seems, from the way Rashi learns this Gemara, why is this so severe? Again, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, maybe we didn't fulfill our mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah properly, because he added a word, he added a letter, subtracted a letter, but you know, therefore he's Machriv is Kol HaOlam? I mean, why is he called destroying the entire world? So Rashi's bothered by this, and he says that in some cases, it could lead actually to Kfirah. For example, Rashi gives the example of omitting the Aleph of Emes. And it says, Hashem Elokeichem Emes, your God is truth. If you leave out the Aleph, again, I'm not going to say the whole sentence, but, right, leave out your God is, but the last word will be not truth, but dead. I remember when I was a kid, maybe you remember this, you know, God is dead. There used to be a philosophy based on Nietzsche, anyway. So therefore, you have to be very, very careful. And Rashi gives another example, that God is always described as doing something in the singular, God spoke. And if you take Vayedaber and you add a vav to it, then it becomes Vayedabru, as if there are many gods. So you could really destroy the whole world by coming up with this kfira. And then Rabbi Meir replies, "I have a kankantum, and I add it to the ink." Okay, now, it doesn't sound like Rabbi Meir is giving a proper response to Rabbi Shmuel. You know, he should have said, "Don't worry, Rabbi, I'm very careful. I don't add any extra letters. I don't subtract any letters." But instead, he tells him that he adds kankantum to the ink that he uses to make the to write the Sefer Torah. So then Rabbi Shmuel responds to him, and he says, "V'chi matilin kankantum mitoch hadyo? Is this allowed?" Omer Torah, the Torah says, "V'kosav u'mocha." So in the parasha of what's called Megillas Sota, we have to write a certain section in the Torah on a klaf, on a parchment, and then we mix it with mechatos, and we give it to the sotos accused of adultery, and she has to drink this concoction. And the Torah says that he shall write v'kosav u'macha, and he shall blot it out. And what does this mean? That when the bitter waters were added to this Megillah Sota, this Parshav Sota, the words that were written on the Megillah would be blotted out. They would be dissolved into this into the bitter waters. And that's called the Kosav Umacha. And Rabbi Shmuel says that, what is this pasuk teaching me? Ksav sheyochol limchos. That when does the Torah validate and recognize the writing on this parchment? That's only because it can be erased. Now let's understand that Rabbi Meir, who was the scribe, he was saying to Rabbi Shmuel, sort of boasting, that I add kankantum to the ink, and as a result, it becomes, what word can I use? Let's call it, maybe you'll correct my English, but I would call it indelible. Is this such a word? We'll look it up in a dictionary. Anyway. Oh, there is such a word. So basically, Rabbi Meir is very proud of himself, because by adding this, we'll call it this chemical substance into the ink, it makes it impossible for the ink to dissolve or to be erased over time. And yet Rabbi Shmuel comes back to Rabbi Meir, and he says, Pugfaket, you're doing the wrong thing. Why? Because the Torah actually advocates that the ink that you use, again in the case of Megillah Sota, let's assume that that's going to be paradigmic of a ksav, of a script that the Torah recognizes, it has to be something that can be dissolved, that allows for erasure. Okay. So we're up to Maika Omar Law, Umaika Mahadur Law. So that's where we got up to yesterday, and that's where we want to start officially today. So if you have the wide lines on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and you count up from the first of the narrow lines going upwards, backwards, if you follow me, towards the top of the page, count up one, two, three. Okay, so it's six lines up. And he says the following. What was Rabbi Shmuel actually saying to Rabbi Meir, and what was Rabbi Meir's response? In other words, Rabbi Meir says that he added kankantum into the ink, and this is what he told Rabbi Shmuel, and it sounds like he was somehow, I'm not sure exactly this piece, I don't understand, but he's somehow addressing the care that he has to have to make sure that he doesn't add a letter or subtract a letter. Hachi Kamarla. This is what Rabbi Meir was saying to Rabbi Meir. To Rabbi Shmuel, Lo mi boy b'chaseros b'yiseros, d'lo ta'ina. It goes without saying that I would never make a mistake by adding a letter or subtracting a letter, because I'll show you exactly how careful I am. D'bokhi ano, I'm certainly an expert in knowing what letters to write in a Sefer Torah. You can rely on me, rest assured. El afilu mechish lizvuv nami. You don't even have to worry about a fly. Dilma osi, perhaps a fly will come. V'yosiv atoge didalit. That this vuv will sit on the crown, which is on top of the letter dalit, umachikle. And as a result of that fly landing on the crown of a dalit, he will erase some of the ink. Umashvile resh. And the difference between a dalet and a resh, they're almost two identical letters, is that the dalet has a piece on the top right that juts out. If you remove that jutting out piece, you end up with a resh. And how is it that I am very convinced, and I can guarantee you that this would never happen, is because Dovrechid Yeshli, there's something that I add to the ink, kankantum shmo, which is called kankantum, and as a result, even if a fly lands on the letter Dalid, and all it would have to do to passel the Sefer Torah would be to erase that little piece of ink that juts out on the top right of the Dalid, he won't be able to erase it. Because once I add the kankantum, then I know that he can't, you know, the ink is indelible. I'm going to hope that that's the appropriate word. So that's what Rabbi Meir replied to Rabbi Shmuel to calm him down about the reliability of the ability of Rabbi Meir to write a Sefer Torah as a scribe properly. Okay. Now the Gemara says that Kasha Shimush Ashimush, Kasha Asora Asora. Okay, now we have two transmissions that seem to contradict each other. The first contradiction is in terms of who was the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir. Right? When we studied the Braisa, we got the impression that Rabbi Meir was the Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel, and he brought the recorded transmission, he transmitted the Torah of Rabbi Shmuel to Rabbi Akiva. In the statement here of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, it's just the opposite. It's the Talmud, meaning Rabbi Meir, is sitting at the footsteps of Rabbi Akiva, and then he goes over to Rabbi Shmuel. That's one contradiction. The second contradiction is, what about this practice of adding kankantum to the ink? In the first tradition, namely in the Braisa, it seems that Rabbi Shmuel was the one who objected. I'm sorry. In the first transmission, in the first presentation of the Braisa, it was Rabbi Akiva who objected, and he said you can't add kankantum. Whereas in Rabbi Yehuda's transmission, it seems that it was Rabbi Shmuel who objected, and Rabbi Akiva was okay with it. So the Gemara says, "Bishlei Mashimush Hashimush Lo Kasha." I don't have a problem reconciling who was the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir, because Meikara also lekami de Rabbi Akiva. In his youth, he studied under Rabbi Akiva. Uvedelo motzi lemekem alibei. I guess it means that Rabbi Meir was not able to comprehend Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's teachings were above his level. They were more profound. So Rabbi Meir felt that he was losing out over here. So what did he do? Asal akami to Rabbi Shmuel. He came in front of Rabbi Shmuel. So he switched his Rebbe. I hope he had permission from Rabbi Akiva, otherwise he would be insulting Rabbi Akiva. And then it says, V'gomar Gemara. Okay, so what are these two extra words? V'gomar Gemara. Gomar means to learn. So it seems, I'm going to just read to you the Hebrew. He says, Mitoch shayer Rabbi Akiva charif biyoter, vayenira lo keilu hu omer al tame shutar val tar shutame. Rabbi Meir was baffled because Rabbi Akiva seemed to say exactly the opposite of what Rabbi Meir thought was intuitively correct as far as the halach is concerned. And Rabbi Akiva was so profound and so sharp and so deep that sometimes he would say something was Tomei and Rabbi Meir thought it was Tar or vice versa. Okay? So that's why at some point Rabbi Meir felt he's got to jump ship. And he quotes here a Gemara in Sota that says, Mishameis Rabbi Akiva batel kavod ha-Torah. And Rashi says there in Sota that Rabbi Akiva yanosein libo lidrosh kol kotz v'kotz shall kol os v'os v'kolshkein tevos yiseros v'osios yiseros. Rabbi Akiva's scope in darshaning and extrapolating halachas from the psukim was beyond belief. I mean, you had a little extra coats, I don't know how you say it in English, but a little line that you had to write on top of a letter, and Rabbi Akiva would derive halachas from that extra coats. And how much more so if there was an extra word in a pasuk, or an extra letter in a pasuk. And then he goes to Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Meir, v'gomar gemara. He says, lamad mimenu mishnayis, shalomad Rabbi Yishmael mirabosav. So according to the way he interprets this gemara, if I understand correctly, Rabbi Meir sort of went back to basics. That's called mishnayis, and Rabbi Shmuel was giving him a little bit more of the basics. And that's called Gomar Gemara. I have a sense, I'm not sure if what I'm telling you is correct, that Gomar Gemara in this context means a methodology. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel was teaching on a level for Rabbi Meir, appropriate level for Rabbi Meir, because he was teaching him, you know, Mishnayis means Torah Shebal Peh, what we call the oral law, and apparently Rabbi Shmuel was transmitting the official canon, so to speak, of the Torah Shebal Peh, which is called the Mishnayis. And I guess he was giving Rabbi Meir, or any of his Talmidim, the opportunity to take this information, to take the official Mesorah, you know, transmission of Torah, and delve into them, and use their own critical capabilities of delving in or analyzing the law itself. So it means that whereas Rabbi Akiva was giving the more advanced Torah knowledge and the deeper meanings, Rabbi Meir felt he wasn't ready for that. He just at that point in his life needed to get the official oral tradition of Torah Shebal Peh, and that's what he got from Rabbi Shmuel. The Hadar also lekami the Rabbi Akiva v'savra svara. Now, once Rabbi Meir mastered the Mishnayis, which is what he received from Rabbi Shmuel, at that point he was ready to acquire the analytical skills and the methodology of Svara, and therefore he goes back to his first Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, who was, as we said before, Charif. He was very sharp, he was Mefalpel, he was able to analyze the didactics of the Torah, Ladagdek, and to teach him how to think analytically, the Svara of the Torah. Ela Asara, Asara. Kasha. So what we can reconcile is the fact that you find sometimes that Rabbi Meir is carrying the Torah of Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Shmuel, and sometimes we find the reverse. So for example, the Braisa, we find that Rabbi Meir was quoting Rabbi Shmuel to Rabbi Akiva, Whereas in the tradition of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he had started with Rabbi Akiva and ended up with Rabbi Shmuel. That's fine, because it refers to different periods of his growing education. But Asara Asara, in other words, who was it that really prohibited adding kankantum into the mixture of the ink? Was it Rabbi Shmuel or was it Rabbi Akiva? Right, in the original Brisa that we started with, it was Rabbi Akiva who objected, whereas in the tradition of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, it was Rabbi Shmuel who objected, Kasha. That we cannot reconcile. Now he has a long note here. Sometimes when the Gemara can't reconcile a contradiction, it says Tyuvta. Other times it says Kushya or Kasha. And the difference is that when the Gemara feels that there's no possible resolution, it uses the word Tyuvta. When it says Kasha, it means the Gemara has in the back of its mind some sort of answer, some sort of reconciliation, but it's not going to be written in the Gemara. So here that we have Kusha, apparently there is some way of reconciling the Braisa with Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And he says the following, HaBraisa Omerish Rabbi Akiva Osras HaKan Kantum Hainu Dafko BeParshas Sota. When Rabbi Akiva in the Braisa prohibited kankantum, he wasn't talking about the general laws of writing a Sefer Torah. He was talking about specific, he was honing in on this specific parsha of Sota, and the ink for parsha Sota, the Torah says, has to be Roy Limchia, right? Limchos. And that excludes the mixture with kankantum. Okay, and now, just one second. And now it comes out, if I understand correctly, that when in the Braisa Rabbi Shmuel was okay, he wasn't referring to Megillah Sota, to Parsha Sota. Now we get to Rabbi Yehuda. When there was a discussion between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Meir about Kankantum, that was specifically about Megillah Sota. Ukrabi Yehuda Hasover Lahalon Shel Nesar Kalkanto El Megillah Sota LeParsha Sota SheTzricha LiMochek VaKankantum Eino Nimchak LeGamrei VaBraisa Sheshaninu Boshe Rabbi Yishmael Osir Sakan Kantum. Second, HaBraisa, right, the Braisa said that Rabbi Yishmael prohibited Kankantum. Hainu Bechol Asvarim Bechol Dover Shemitzvaso Bidyo Al Aklaf Mishum Shu Lomed Misota Lechol Mokom. So if I understand correctly, what he's saying is that we can reconcile the Braisa with Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel because there is a machlokas here between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's view, his opinion was that Kankantum is excluded, is disqualified specifically in the case of Parsha Sota. Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, was of the opinion that Kankantum is disqualified for all Sifrei Torah. So when in the first in the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva objected, he was talking about Parsha Sota. One second, I don't understand. So why was Rabbi Yishmael Why was Rabbi Shmuel okay with it? Just one second. I'm getting myself messed up. Again, the Braisa. Let's go back to the Braisa for a second.
I think the controversy is whether you use the concantum for the entire.
For the Thai Sefer Torah, is it disqualified?
Except for Sota, or you can't use it at all. Biklal for the entire. In other words, does the entire Torah can be dissolved, or is it only the section on Sota that's allowed to be dissolved?
Right.
The rest of the Torah has to be permanent. I think there's a footnote in our scroll that talks about the same thing.
Wait, but just give me 1 minute. I apologize. I just got to get the facts on the ground. I got confused between the Braisa and... So again, what was the Braisa? In the Braisa, right, he started with Rabbi Shmuel. Just 1 second. I just got to get the... It take me 1 minute to get oriented, just to get the facts on the ground, and then we could talk about Sota and the rest of the Torah. Well, let me just get the facts on the ground. So, in the Braisa... Just 1 second... Shayisi Eitzel Rabbi Shmuel Hayisi Makir Kanfalo Omerli. So again, I just write myself a note here so I don't get confused again. 1 second here. Yeah. So in the Braisa is Rabbi Shmuel was okay with it. Lo Omar Li Dovar. And Rabbi Akiva Osar. Okay, so that's the Braisa. Now we get to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And there, Rabbi Akiva was okay with it, correct? Let me just make sure I got that right. Hayiti matzav lo omar li dover. So Rabbi Akiva lo omar li dover. And then Rabbi Shmuel quotes the parsha of Sota. So what I'm trying to figure out here, maybe you could help me with this, now that I got the facts on the ground, is why is it that Rabbi Shmuel did not object to the use of concantum in the version of the Braisa? Just let me read this one more time. Efshel Yashiv is Astira ben Abraisa. Shabraisa omeres Rabbi Kiva osar as hakankantum. That was the first Braisa, right? Hainu dafka v'parsha sota. Ukrav Yehuda. Fine. Okay, that I got. Hakankantum eino nimchak legamre. Okay, I know that. The Braisa shenina bosh Rabbi Shmuel osar as hakankantum hayin b'chol asfar. No, I don't understand. There's still something missing here. I don't get it. In the first Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel lo amar li dover. And we're saying now that Rabbi Shmuel's Shita is even more lechumra. Not only in Sota is it excluded, but even in Shar Svarim, in Kol HaSvarim. So how come Rabbi Shmuel lo amar li dover? I don't know. I'm sorry, I didn't. The mathematics just doesn't work out for me. When I realized this, I said to myself, maybe I'm making a mistake. So I went back to this draw board. But
in the Braisa, I may not be getting it right.
Yeah.
I apologize. In the Braisa, they're not talking about Sota. It's just talking about the Torah entirety.
Right, but again, so just answer this one question. So what does it mean, Rabbi Shmuel lo amar li davar? What do those words mean in the Braisa? Lo amar li dover. Why not? Again, we're saying that Rabbi Shmuel holds that kankantum is out, not only in Sota, but from Sota he derives it for other svarim. So how could it be lo amar li davar? If you could answer that question, I'll be a happy.
So in this case, Rabbi Yishmael didn't say anything when they're talking about the Torah in general.
Why not? Why didn't he object? Just answer that one question. Why did Rabbi Yishmael not object to use of kankantum in writing the Torah? Well, why not? I don't have an answer to that. Okay. I don't want to...
Okay.
You know, we're not learning Sefer Torah Yisya, but anyway. All right, Tanya. Oh, we're still not out in the clear yet. We have a Brice, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Meir Hoya Omer, Lakol. In other words, whenever you have to use Dio, is Matilin Kankantum Betocha Dio, Chutz Mi Parsha Soto. Because in Parsha Soto, you need that it be Roy Lemechika, right? That, as we said before. Rabbi Akiva Omer Bishmo, he has a different tradition of the name Rabbi Meir, is you're allowed to add kankantum into your ink, chutz mi parsha sota shevimigdash. Now, it's not a problem in the Sefer Torah, it's a problem in the Beis HaMikdash for parsha sota. My Beinayu, what are they arguing about? Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, limchok la minat Torah. Let's say you would take the parsha of sota out of a big Sefer Torah, and you would do mechika, meaning you want to use that parsha from a Sefer Torah for mechatas, for the mixture here, for the concoction given to the sota. And this is going to be the nafkamina. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that... Just one second. Muta limchok mi sefer Torah's parsha sota l'toch hamayim kidei lahashkos ba es ha-sota. V'lachein oser lichtov bidyo sheyesh bo kankantum kidei sheim yatil kankantum bidyo keman sheim yatil kankantum bidyo lo yuchal limchok es ha-ksa. In other words, since Rabbi Yehuda holds that the parsha of Sota in a Sefer Torah is suitable for the Hashkas HaSota, therefore we have to guarantee that that parsha should be written in a way that it would be valid for Hashkas Sota, and therefore you cannot add any kankantum. On the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov holds that when it comes to the parsha of Sota in a Sefer Torah, we're not allowed to use that parsha for Hashkas Sota because we cannot destroy the parsha of a Sefer Torah, one parsha of a Sefer Torah, because that's in effect destroying the whole Sefer Torah. And therefore you're allowed to write the parsha of Sota with kankantum, with the addition of kankantum, even though that disqualifies it for Hashkas Sota. It doesn't matter, according to Rabbi Yaakov, that parsha in the Sefer Torah could never be used for Hashkas Sota. V'hani tanoi, ki hani tanoi. And this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov is identical with a machlokas that's recorded in the following brisa regarding the mitzvah of writing a Megillah Sota, to Sanya. Now, this brisa is going to talk about the following case. A Sota and shenichtava megilasa. Ah, what do we do if we prepared a megillah of a sota, and it was written and so forth and so on, but at the last minute she admitted and confessed that she was guilty of adultery. Is ein megilasa k'sher lahashkas bo sota acheres? Can we use a megillah sota that was written for Rachel for Leah? And the answer is, according to the Tanakhama, this brisa, no. It's disqualified, because the sota, the parasha of sota for a megillah sota, has to be written specifically for this sota. That's what we call ksiva lishma. That's according to Tanakhama. Rav Achai bar Oshi amar megillasa k'sher lahashkas bo sota acheres. In other words, you don't need, there's no requirement that the megillah be written for one specific sota lishma. So you can shift it. You wrote it for Rachel, let's leave it and use it for Leah. Okay. So now we're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov, who discussed the issue of kankantum and debate that issue, they really, in the heart of it, are debating the issue of lishma. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're allowed to use the parsha of sota that's written in the Sefer Torah. He holds that there's no din of lishma, no requirement to lishma megillah sota. So that even though this parsha was written not for any particular sota, it was written as part, it's parsha's nosa, part of the Sefer Torah, nevertheless it still can be used for hashkas sota. And therefore you have to make sure that it's written without the mixture of kankantum. Rabbi Yaakov, on the other hand, holds, like the Tanakhama of this brisa, which means that you would never ever be able to use the parsha of sota in the Sefer Torah itself, Ashkas Sota, because it wasn't written lishma, and therefore it's fine to add kankantum into the mixture, because it can never be used for Ashkas Sota insofar as we require lishma. Omar Papa Dilma Lohi, perhaps you have no right to make this interdependence. Ad kan lo komer Tanakhama hosom. When did the Tanakhama say in the din of lishma as to the disqualification of using a megillah sota that was written for Rachel for Leah? Ella keva de intek lishum Rachel. In other words, that megillah was written for one specific woman, we could call her Rachel, and that excludes it from all other women in the world. It was exclusively dedicated to Rachel. Isulo hadra minatka lishum Leah. Once you have assigned it for Rachel, you can no longer use it and transfer its assignment to Leah. Okay. Aval gabi sefer Torah, you want to say that we can never use a sefer Torah for Ashkas Sota because we're lacking in lishma? No. Stoma michteve. The sefer Torah was written without any specific dedication. Right? It wasn't singularly dedicated for Rachel. It was dedicated for anybody or everybody. It's hachinami, therefore, even the Tanakhama would agree, demachkinon, that we can take out the parsha of sota from a sefer Torah, and we could use it for ashkas sota. Why? Because it wasn't nitka. And if it wasn't nitka, then there's no requirement lishma. We just have to make sure it wasn't nitka. In other words, it wasn't reassigned after it was assigned. I'm just curious, if you would use the parasha of sota from a Sefer Torah, would you have to cut it out of the Sefer Torah? That's what I'm thinking. I don't know. I'd love to see if if anybody agrees with me about that.
I would have thought you just have to scrape the letters off. The ink has to go into the liquid.
I don't know. I think the whole cloth has to be mixed, as far as I know. Okay. Now let's go on. Omar of Nachman bar Yitzchak. He also seems to agree that we don't have a right to say that the machlokas about whether you can use a parsha of from the Sefer Torah Fashkas Sota is dependent upon the issue of whether or not Megillah Sota has to be written Lishma. Dil Alohi Adkan Lo Ka'omar Rav Achai Bar Oshia Hasam. When did Rav Achai allow you to use a Megillah Sota that was written for Rachel for Leah, Ela de'ichta mias lishum Sota b'olam, because it was written for the sake of a Sota. Avol gabi Torah, but if you have a Sefer Torah, Dil Islamid Ksiva, it wasn't written for any Sota at all. It was written for the purpose of learning. You know, you want to study, you want to read the Sefer Torah, but it wasn't written for Ashkas Sota. It cannot be used for Ashkas Sota. Why? Because it has no relationship to Sota whatsoever. So it's interesting. The Gemara is saying like a punk faker to svara than what it said before, just the opposite. Before we were saying the fact that it was written as a Megillah Sota for the sake of Rachel, that's a posel as far as Leah is concerned. Now we're saying, you know what? If it was written for Leah, then it could be used for Rachel, or the other way around, because at least it was written for a Sota. Mashenkin is Sefer Torah, according to this opinion of Rav Achai, it wasn't written at all for a Sota, and therefore cannot be used for Ashkas Sota. V'lesle l'Rav Achai bar Oshia Hadisnan, does Rav Achai reject the following Mishnah, the Mishnah in Gittin? So again, let's go over. Rabbi Achai says that if you have a Megillah Sota that was written for Rachel, you can use it for Leah. Now, the Mishnah, as far as Get is concerned, is talking about a Get where you have to write the name of the husband and the name of the wife. Kosav get legoresh es ishto. And here we turn to Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. V'nimlach. So the man had, he commissioned the writing of a get for his wife, and then he changed his mind. Umitso ben Iro, and another fellow member of the same city found, he got hold of this get, and he turns to the first guy who had commissioned the writing of the get, and he says to him, Shimcha kishmi v'shem ishcha k'shem ishti. I actually have the same name that you do, and your wife and my wife have the same name. So why not just give me the get, or allow me to use the get, and I'm going to divorce my wife. Is possible the garish po? That's a disqualified get, because the Torah says because of law, and law we derive from law lishma. The get has to be written for that particular woman. No other woman could be divorced through this get. So the Gemara asks, let's take the word law in the parasha of Sota, and it says V'yasa law ha-kohen, that the Megillah has to be written law, which means it has to be written lishma. So how could Rav Achai bar Yoshia qualify or validate a Sota that was written for Rachel and use it for Leah? And the Gemara answers Hochi Ashta Hosam. In the parasha of Get it says V'kasa law. To be inak siva lishma aval hacha v'asa laks. If it doesn't say v'kasa v'la, to be in an asiyah lishma, asiyah l'dida mechikahi. In other words, the asiyah has to be lishma. meaning the act of mechika, that when they actually add the water into the concoction and they obliterate the name, that has to be done for the sake of this woman. So if it was, let's say, you already made the concoction for the sake of Rachel, you can't use it now for Leah. But as far as the writing of the Megillah is concerned, Rav Achai Rav Oshia holds that even if the Megillah Sota was written for Rachel, it could be used for Leah as long as they haven't yet added the water into the concoction to make the mechika. Okay then, so this is where we're up to on Daf, on the top of Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, and in Mitzvah, we'll pick this up on Sunday. Am I right?